So welcome everybody. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. What are you expecting this coming year? We must always move into things with a great sense of expectancy, believing that God has the very best for us. Amen? If the Lord go before us, and He always will, He said, I will go before you. He's in our tomorrows. He will bless our tomorrows. Before we get there, God is already in it. Say an amen. Amen. So it doesn't matter what comes by our way, God is already in our tomorrows. He knows exactly what He has planned. For I know the plans that I have concerning you. It is always plans to give you a good ending. Amen. We may not understand what God is doing. We may not disagree with the way He's doing things, but God is God, and He will do whatever He pleases. Amen. And we don't argue with the supreme God, God of our lives. We don't argue with Him. We can question at times and say, Lord, I don't understand, but God is always in control. He has always been. He never abdicated His throne. Amen. And our whole desire is to see a good year, that the Lord would go before us, prepare the way for us. If He parted the Red Sea, He can also part things for us to walk on dry land when it is needed. But there are times where we need to take a step of faith, like with Joshua, and step in the waters first. Then the waters start to part. Amen? So God will be calling us to do a number of things. You know, as I, this morning when I woke up and went to get myself ready, and I looked in that mirror, and the person in the mirror pointed at me and said, did you realize that you've already finished 3 years of your 70th year? Three months of your 70th year. I said, no, I'm not 70 yet. He said, no, you are already in your 70th year. You have finished 69 years, and you've already started in your 70th year. And I thought, oh my God, I'm as old as Pastor Stefan. I am 70 years old, man, 70 years old. But you know what? See, she likes me old and senile. That's what she likes me. Okay. All right. This morning, the word that I'm going to share with you is basically to get you to challenge your own Christian life. See, we are not church members. We are not Christian by name. Sometimes you need certain people of certain denominations, and you talk to them and you say, are you a Christian? What do you mean? Am I a Christian? I belong to this church. So the whole thing is, you know, when those days when we were young, when they would come and talk, well, what do you want to talk? I come from a generation of Methodists. I was born a Methodist, I'm going to die a Methodist. What are you trying to talk to me about Christianity? That's where we came from. So we need to challenge our faith. Now listen to what Paul says, and I want to challenge you. The message may be a little bit hard for you, but you need to hear this, because you need to understand what Christianity is all about. Can I hear an amen? All right, and as the father of the house, I have to challenge you with these things as we begin the new year. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13 onwards, all right? And it says this, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have made it, Paul is saying. I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself as an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. That's what Message Translation says. In most churches last night, as they had their watch night service, they would have preached from this. And they quote from the King James Version, which says this, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead. Now, the theme for our coming year will be reach or reaching. And here is what Paul is saying. He's saying, there is one thing that I do. And the one thing is not the forgetting. The one thing is the reaching. And so sometimes, you know, we begin to talk about we need to forget about. Listen, if you are reaching for something, automatically you will start forgetting the things which are behind you. Jesus said, when a man puts his hand to the plow, he's not going to look backwards, because if he looks backwards, he's not going to get the kind of results that he would like to get. Come on, amen? So he says, you've got to keep your eye on that one thing. David said in Psalm 27 and verse 4, he said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that one thing will I seek after, whether it is to dwell in the house of the Lord and to behold His beauty and all of those things. But he says, this is one thing. We've got to become people of one thing. And so Paul's one thing was, I want to reach out. I want to keep reaching forward. And as I reach forward, those things don't matter anymore. Thank God for the wonderful things we enjoyed. Thank God for all the blessings we enjoyed. Now also thank God for the lessons we learned during this time. Many became a little bit wiser in the way they spend their finances, in the way they handle their families. Come on, amen. All right? How they handle their lives in the past couple of years. We became a little wiser over the issues that we faced because of those things that happened. And we thank God. No wonder the believer says, like Paul says, we thank God in everything. Give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that we learn to give thanks in everything. So I want to talk about just three areas if I can. The first thing is reaching upwards. He says, I am reaching out for Christ. I'm reaching out for Christ. That is in verse 13. In verse 14, he says, that I may know Him, that I may know the power of His resurrection, that I may know the fellowship of His suffering. So I want to, here is the Apostle Paul at the end of his life. He's writing to the Philippian church. Of course, you know, he has already gone to the Philippian jail, but now he's writing, he's at the end of his life, and he says, I want to know Him. Now, the thing you've got to challenge yourself is, how much of God do we really know? Or how much of Him have we really, you know, met Him to get to know Him? Every Sunday morning, if I am preaching, Pastor Stefan will end with the blessing from Numbers chapter 6. I will use that as well. But I often use a little from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. And this is what it says. May the amazing grace, this is the exact translation in the Greek. May the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, all right, and the extravagant love of God the Father and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Be with you all. In other words, may you all have this blessing. May you all enjoy, number one, the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us really experience personally the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we honestly say, I am saved and I enjoy being a believer? Thank God for His amazing grace. Come on. Sometimes people think you've got to have an amazing testimony. You know, like, I remember when Jonathan was small, he shared with his friend about Jesus. He said, Pa, I shared with my friends about Jesus. I said, what did you share? He said, I shared your testimony. Because my testimony seems to be a little bit more exciting. He was a drug addict. He was a bad boy. Jesus saved him. And I said, do you know that you have a greater testimony? I don't have anything. Yes, you do. God stopped you from becoming a drug addict. God prevented you. His grace saved you from doing all the bad things people, you know, have done. You have been saved by His amazing grace. God prevented you. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Before they even get into it, God saves us. And so we can experience it. You see, the Apostle Paul was not, you know, he calls himself chief of all sinners, but he was a sinner in the sense of being religious. But he was not a sinner in the sense that he did a lot of morally bad things. So he experienced the grace of God. Am I enjoying the grace of God? Can I say, when I went through these difficult times, his grace was sufficient for me? Have I experienced it? Do I testify? Do I have a testimony of God's grace helping me through a difficult time? May the grace. See, we lift our hands and we receive it. We think it's a blessing that the pastor pronounces, therefore it's mine. No, he's saying, may it be with you. May you experience the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. May you experience the extravagant love of God the Father. Do you know that he loves you? Have you experienced his love? This is what we talk about when we say we are reaching upward. God, I want to know this love pouring into my soul so that when I worship you, God, it comes from the depths of my soul. Listen to me very carefully. When the wise men came, they came to worship. Amen. Christmas. They came to worship him. There was nothing this baby could do for them. This baby could give them nothing. But they came to worship him who was born king. Because he is the king, he deserves my worship. When we come together, sometimes we misunderstand church. We think church is the place where we come to get what God wants to give us. But church is the place where we come together to worship the king. And out of his goodness, like the Queen of Sheba who came to see Solomon, she came to give him stuff. She came to see the wonders that he had, and he bestowed upon her more than she could ever imagine. But the purpose of her coming was not to get from Solomon. And we come before the king of who is the greater than Solomon, and we worship him. Not so much for what he can give us, but what we ought to do as believers. Come on, say amen. We must, you know, coming here, we've got to change in our whole concept of what Christianity is all about, what Sunday morning is all about. We call it a Sunday morning worship service, which means we come to worship the King. Say amen. You're very quiet. But may the Holy Spirit help us to understand. As Paul bestowed that blessing in the new covenant, he said, this is what it should be yours. That you come and understand as you stand there, you understand that God loves me so much in spite of. I may have failed. I've been a terrible person. But listen, man, God loves us eternally. I have loved you with an eternal love. Let the love of God, when you come into the presence of God. See, I used to go to church when I was a young believer, and I always learned that from, you know, somehow I guess the Spirit of the Lord would help me. And as I walked to church, I would be going, oh, I'm going into the house of God. I'm going to worship God. And every service I go, man, when the worship starts, I am blessed. I don't wait just to receive a word from God. I get blessed the moment worship starts, when I lift up my heart, bear myself before him, realize that I'm not good, but he still loves me. The love of God is poured out. And I experience that love. You're not being blessed because you did something good. You are blessed because he loves you. My children don't have to do anything to please me. Sometimes we go out for a meal, they all want to bless me. But I want to bless them. Come on. A good father wants to give good things. Now, I'm not a good guy at all. But if I, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more? If we could only understand God's soul love, not God's love, but God's soul love the world. May you experience the extravagant love of God. Amen. You know what that love is called? Prodigal. The prodigal, we talk about the prodigal son, it's actually the prodigal father, one who spends extravagantly on a son. Amen? All right, and then he talks about, this is what I want you all to get to know. I'm going to go, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he is going to abide with you forever. I will have to leave, but he's going to come, and he will give you, offers you, intimate friendship. Do we know the Holy Spirit? Do we know that he wants to be our friend? This is just like having Jesus. We often talk, Jesus, be with me, Jesus. The Holy Spirit has come to do exactly what Jesus would be doing. He is now the representative of heaven. We need to have intimate friendship. He's offering it to us. So when I talk about reaching upwards, I'm talking about, I want to know Him. If this is what He's giving to me, I must say, Lord, in this coming year, I want to know You. And listen, it's very easy to know Him because He will make Himself known. He will help you to know Him. If you just ask Him, Holy Spirit, please, I just want to know You, He will make His presence real because, you know, just like air, the name of God is Yahweh. We all call that Yahweh. Everybody know that? Nod your head if you agree. Yahweh. Actually, it's been defiled by the English vocabulary. Yahweh is actually just two words. Y-H-W-H. They are separate. Y-H-W-H. But they added the vowels inside so that we could pronounce it. So we have Yahweh. But it's actually, the Jewish scholars and rabbis would tell you, it's actually just two words, Y-H-W-H. And he says, that represents your breathing. Yah, Y-H is you take in. W-H is you breathe out. Yeah. Every time you breathe, you are actually using the name of God. So, that's how much God wants us to know Him. See, like I said in our Christmas service, God does not need a name. But He deliberately gives us that word. This is me. Y-H-W-H. So that you can know that I who created you, want you to be so close to me. And every day before man fell, God would come every day and walk and talk with him. Now He allows the Holy Spirit to come. And Paul says, may you all have the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Say amen. If you forget everything else, may this one thing itself begin to minister to you. You can say in the New Year resolution, Lord, I really want to reach up. I really want to know you. I want to know you. Paul, at the end of his life, I just want to know him. I mean, he walked with him. He gave us the Bible, literally the whole New Testament. With all of this knowledge, he says, man, I still want to know him because there is so much more to know in him. He's so wonderful. The Holy Spirit wants to be our friend. Doesn't just come to convict us and tell us what we are doing is wrong, like a disciplined teacher. No, he wants to be our friend. He's called the helper. He's called the comforter. Come on, church. And he wants to be our friend. Reaching upward. Number two, reaching inward. I'm not saying that I have this all together. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. I have not yet reached it, but I want to reach it. You know, we all went to Penang, coming back. Have you all reached already? Not yet. Stuck in a jam. Which means that that was not our destination. We are still reaching. What are you doing? Doing my studies in, you know, what are you studying? I'm doing, how many years are you into it? Have you not graduated? No. I'm reaching. There is a destination. I've not yet achieved it. So I want to reach my destination. I want to talk about reaching inward. Reaching inward. Now listen, this is what God said, Mark chapter 12, 30. You must love him with all your, talk to me, heart and soul and mind and strength. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. I love you, Lord, we sing. But do I really love the Lord? I have to ask myself, have I grown in my relationship with him? My heart refers to my spiritual being. Will I give this coming year extra effort to develop my spiritual life? I talk about the Holy Spirit. This coming Bible study, the first Bible study we'll be doing for the coming year, will be a Bible study on the Holy Spirit. And I pray that you will join in so that you can understand a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is and how can I know him and become a little bit more intimate with him. Come on, amen. Sometimes you hear people go like, oh yeah, Pastor, you know, I really don't have time and all. You know, I was shocked the other day. I didn't even realize this because I don't check the phone that often. But when I turned it on, it told me how many hours I had spent on it. Does your phone have that? I wonder if the Lord showed you the amount of time you spent with him. What would it look like? See, we use excuse. We talk about, I don't have time. No, everybody's been given 24 hours, which simply means that I've got to deliberately discipline myself to make time to seek the Lord. You cannot have the blessing of God without you seeking him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things shall be added unto you. We want all things to be added, and then we start seeking him and thanking him. He says, no, 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 don't put the cart before the horse. Seek first the kingdom, all things will be added. It's not pray, it's seek. Seek has to do with a little bit more discipline. Come on, amen. Looks like you don't like me already. This is your coming year resolution. You've got to determine in yourself, I'm going to develop my spiritual life. I'm going to spend a little bit more time praying. Come on, amen. Don't be like the usual guys and say, oh, I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to go to the gym. First week, second week. Your exercise has become less and less. And then eventually, kind of thing. Huh? All right, so discipline yourself. My soul refers to my relationships. You shall love the Lord. Did you know that the way you relate to God and to people is your expression of loving God? You shall love the Lord your God with all your soul. All right? You shall love him with all your soul. So it's not just so much of loving God this way. He's talking about just loving. What's your relationship like to life? Is it well with your soul? Are you happy with your soul? Are you happy with your life? Are you happy with the people you are with? Some cannot relate at all to other people. They want to become islands. Just stay by themselves. Don't trouble me. I don't want to mix with people because I've got hurt before. Well, welcome to reality. Jesus mingled with people. He took off his armor, the armor of God, and mingled with men, and they killed him. But that was the only way to win in life. We get hurt, yes, but I've got to love God. And the way I love God is how I relate also to people. Your mind. You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind. Your mind refers to your intellect. What effort am I putting into or going to put in to develop my intellect? Am I developing myself intellectually? I don't mean by watching movies, man. Learning from TV or learning, reading. Developing yourself. When I was 55, they told me it's too late to study. I decided I wanted to just challenge my thinking. I wanted to grow in my mind, so I decided to do my master's at the age of 55. It's never too late to start something. Come on, amen? You must always grow into, because this is how you show you love God. He's given you that mind. Amen? See, sometimes people say Christians are the ones who kiss their brains goodbye. They just say, oh, love God, trust God, everything will be fine. No, 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 no. Christians are the most thinking people. Come on, man. They are the ones who contributed proper schools in the world to teach people to learn. Come on. Inventions, all these things. A lot of those have come from the minds of good thinking people. Come on, amen. You shall love the Lord. You shall love the Lord your God. Now, this one. Some may not like it. Your strength, which refers to your physical being. Romans chapter 12, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. How do I treat my body? Oh, this year, you know, I'm really going to start losing weight. Please do it. Do it, man. Come on. How you treat your body is how you express your love for God. Because you understand that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Hui. All of you are very quiet. Pastor's giving us the whole plan. He wants us to do all these things. Yes, you've got to, man. This is how I show. Now, what am I doing? I'm reaching inward and asking myself all these questions. How is my spirit man going? How is my relationship with people? I need to develop that one. How is my intellectual life going? How is my physical life? How am I treating my body? Come on, all these things are important. Come on. New Year resolutions, people make them all the time. But the Bible has it very clearly. When it comes to how do I love the Lord, He tells you how to love Him in all this area. Romans chapter 12, as I said, verse 1 and verse 2, talks about our bodies, which is our spiritual worship. Present your bodies unto God as your spiritual worship. Amen. So when we come into the house of God, I hope you clap. I hope you sing. Don't let the worship team hijack your voice. They are here to help you sing. They are here to lead you into the presence of God. Not for you to sit there and watch them perform. You sing unto the Lord. Everything is up there to help you along. Sing along with them with all your heart. Oh, I don't sing well, Pastor. I only make mistakes. Make a joyful noise. God knew that. That's why He didn't say make joyful singing. He said make a joyful noise, because some of us, when we sing, it's noise. But make it anyway. Use your voices to glorify Him. Don't say, oh, I can't sing. You know, I can't carry a tune in the bucket. Doesn't matter, man. We don't serve buckets here. Just bring your tune anyway. Say amen. All right. Last of all, everybody say amen. Reaching outward. I'm reaching out for Christ because He has so wondrously reached out to me, and now I must wondrously reach out to others. Jesus said just now, we shared, you must love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the following verse, He says, and the second is this, you must love others as you love yourself. Unfortunately, many have taken this verse to say, you must learn to love yourselves. That's not what He's saying. He says, you're already loving yourselves too much. You love yourselves already very much, so now start loving other people the way you love yourself, the way you care for yourself, the way you provide for yourself, the way you do all these things for yourself. Start loving other people. This is not a teaching on, guys, come on, we got to teach other people to love yourselves because many people don't love. No, that's rubbish, man. People already love themselves too much. The world is baptized in selfishness. Me, mine, everything is my family. When you pray, do you pray for others? No, it's me, myself, my wife, my children, my son, my daughter, my dog, my cat. Come on, that's the reality of things. So He says, now come on, we've got to go outside of the four walls of our homes and start loving people. So in Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and verse 2, all the tax collectors and sinners come to listen to Jesus. What a wonderful thing it is to have a house filled with sinners. Hallelujah. I remember when we were in Kuantan, there was this big, Roy Durman was coming to preach. And so I was one of the organizing pastors, and all the other churches came, you know, from different denominations. We sat down and we began to talk. Now the guy, when he comes, there's crowds of people. We wanted to use a school hall. And so we're talking about security. And one of the pastors, you know, mentioned, he said, please, we've got to have police and all that here. We don't want riffraff to come. He called them riffraffs. I said, if you don't mind, when the riffraffs come, please send them to my church. I don't want to have a church just filled with nice people. All the sinners, they came to Jesus. But the Pharisees and all the experts on Moses' Moses' teachings complain. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. You bet. And Jesus shoots out three parables. Parable of the lost sheep, parable of the lost coin, and the son who went away. And all of this has to do with going out and seeking them. Three things I want us to understand that we must have. Number one, we must have compassion. We must have compassion. Very often when I go to a petrol station. Yesterday we went to fill up our tank. The moment I came in, the guy at the petrol, there were so many who were coming into the petrol. He saw me. He came straight to my car. Hey, hello, and started talking to me. Guy from Bangladesh. Why did he do that? Because that was the second time he met me. First time when I met him, I asked him, how are you? Gave him a few dollars and told him, Make sure you use this money to call your father, mother, tell them that you are saved. You're a young man, you're here as an immigrant, tell them that you are saved. Because of that, the moment I came, he filled my whole petrol car, talked to me about his family, asked me, what am I doing? Conversation began. Listen, man, we've got to have compassion on every person. Value people. Don't look at your customers as clients and customers. Look at them as people. Come on. Have compassion on them, man. Don't look at them as getting another buck from them. We are believers, children of the living God. Have compassion. Jesus was always moved by compassion. Amen. Second thing that is needed is effort. The shepherd went out over the hills place, went out to look. The woman kept sweeping the house to look. Listen, it needs effort to get out to these people. Last week I talked about my father and how I ran away from home. And I said, I thank God my father sent my brothers to look for me. 3 a.m. in the morning, they're looking at my friend's door and I'm inside. My friend acted like he was, you know, something, police or what came. He acted like he just got up from his sleep. I was inside. Yes, hey, why 3 a.m.? David here or not? No. But he didn't say, never mind, 11 children, one fella gone, never mind, I've got 10. My family, 11, one gone, never mind, 10. He kept looking and looking and looking. And somehow I thought, why disturb me? But then I thought, man, he really must love me. A lot of effort. And of course, last of all, persistence. We must reach out, friends. Listen. If we are not reaching out, we don't have the heart of Jesus. So that's why I said we've got to commune with Him, because when you commune with Him, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Naturally, we are not people kind of persons. I mean, we like to talk to them as friends and just, you know, acquaintances, hi, bye. But we never like to get really intimate with people. But Jesus got intimate with everyone. Lady, go home and call your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right, you don't have a husband. Because we already had 5 before. He began to go into the details of life. He cares for people. Can I hear an amen? That's what we should have. We must always be reaching out for more. Always. Please, you must. You cannot allow your friends to just perish. Amen? Let me just share the scriptures with you. It's a dangerous thing. But here it is. I don't know what this actually entails, but this is what it says. Ezekiel 3, verse 18. Suppose I tell you that wicked people will surely die, but you don't warn them or speak out so that they can change their wicked ways in order to save their lives. Then these wicked people will die because of their sin, but I will hold you responsible for their deaths. Fierce, 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 fierce words. It is because of this verse that I actually got into the ministry. When I read that verse as a young Christian and I saw that, I said, I don't know what this means. I don't think God's going to send me to hell because I didn't tell them. But I don't know what it means. But I don't want to face God when He looks at me and says, why didn't you? You had the opportunity all the time, David. And so I would take 2 big bags, not out of guilt, but I thought, I must tell them if this is true. 2 big bags filled, paper bags those days, filled with tracks. Go to the place where I used to take drugs, Boundary Road Flats. Walk from one floor to the other, 16 floors. Go to every house and put a little track inside, praying that nobody would open and ask me questions. Because I didn't know how to answer. I didn't know anything about Christianity. The tracks said it all. And I hoped that they would read it. It was all in English, Chinese, and Tamil. And put all the tracks in every home I could find. Just walk around, just give tracks. Talk about, you know, if I had a chance with friends, I would just talk about what happened in my life. That's all I knew. Testify of what God has done for you. You don't have to preach like I'm preaching. Just share with them the goodness and the grace, amazing grace. Come on. The extravagant love and the friendship that you have with God. Nobody talks to God and God speaks back, man. But we have this privilege. Share with them what God has done for you. Come on. This is what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 9:16. Just preaching the gospel isn't any special credit to me. I couldn't keep from preaching it. I can't help myself. If I wanted to, I couldn't help. I would be utterly miserable. Woe is me if I don't preach it. I've got to share the gospel. I've got to share it with my neighbors. I must care enough for them. My colleagues, the ones that I'm working with, I've got to share with. If you cannot share, invite them to church. Let them feel the presence of God. Come on, church. I hope you will use this as a resolution to reach upwards, reach inwards, and you must reach outwards. Can I hear an amen? I hope you still love me. But you must hear this. This is from the presence of the Lord into your own hearts. You must do all these three things. If you don't, then you begin to ask yourself, am I really a child of God? If I am, why is it I don't have any desire for the things of God? Come on, amen? And may God help you. May the grace of God help you do this. Stand with me.